It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, welcome to episode 2 of the Hockey News on the Dub podcast, brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Carol Schramm, and with me is our WHL expert, Liz Child. Hi, Liz. Nice to see you.
Hi, Carol. Happy to be back again for another week.
Yeah, and just to let you know, before we get started here, we've got a little bit of a smoke detector issue lurking in the background. There it is, right on cue. It is his ends of things. As far as we know, it's coming from some other nearby apartment in Liz's world, so it's not something that that we're able to get a handle on. But hopefully, you can bear with us, and it won't be too much of a distraction today. How's your week gone overall, Liz?
It's been pretty great. I mean, for me personally, we had the San Jose Barracuda home opener back to back this weekend, and happy to report that the Barracuda are a perfect 4-0 to start the season. So
nice. That's
how about for you?
It's been super busy. A couple of Canucks games. I don't need to tell you how that's going. So we'll just move on from there and run down what we're going to talk about today on the pod. We've got the WHL's 3 Stars of the Week coming up. We'll be checking in on the Chicago Blackhawks as our NHL Team of the Week. We've got a goalie spotlight, our draft eligible player spotlight, and of course, the weekly Connor Bedard report. One other interesting note, we're recording this on Tuesday, and earlier today, NHL Central Scouting released its first draft list for the 2023 draft. I can't believe it's actually the 2023 draft after all these years of talking about it, that we're just a few months away from finding out how this is going to shake out. So at this point, they're just putting players into groups of A, B, and C rankings, sort of the top ranked players. The A's could be first round candidates, the B players could be second or third round candidates, and the C ratings would be players that could fall in rounds 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that range. So we'll be mentioning some players today that are on that list and where they fall, and in future weeks we'll be digging in a little bit more to what that means and what we might expect to see over the coming months as the draft draws nearer and these players continue to progress through their seasons. So should we get started with the 3 Stars?
Yeah, I'm excited to get to it this week.
Let me introduce our 3rd star this week. A defenseman from the Vancouver Giants who was actually named the WHL Player of the Week last week. But given a C rating by NHL Central Scouting, so that's a little bit of a glass half empty, glass half full for defenseman Mazden Leslie of the Vancouver Giants.
I mean, he's ranked, and I think at this point, that's what players are looking for. I mean, they'll tell you all day and all night, oh, I never look, I never check where my ranking is, I never hear about it, but they all know, they're all aware. But I think at this point of the season, it's so early that just getting on that rankings is all that they're asking for. But yeah, Mazden Leslie impressed the entire WHL last week. Just, you know, he was in 4 games, which 4 games, 7 days, is a lot of games. And he was only kept off the score sheet in one of them, which, you know what, as a defenseman, I'm never fully expecting that they're picking up points. You know, my thing with defensemen is I want to see what you're doing defensively. But, you know, 1 goal, 5 assists in 4 games, you can't be mad about that. He did take 5 penalties, which is a little bit concerning just because I'd like to see that number come down a little bit. But, you know, he had a fantastic outing, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does the rest of the season because I know he's been talked up to me quite a bit.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that he's got a pretty distinct physical element to his game. He's got a couple of scraps up on hockeyfights.com. So it seems like he's a very, very versatile defenseman who will get noticed in lots of different ways. Definitely a player to keep an eye on for the Giants as the season goes forward. 2nd star of the week, our first goalie mention of today's episode. Turning to the Brandon Wheat Kings, tell us about Carson Bjarnason.
Yeah, so Carson Bjarnason, I feel like everyone last week maybe was a little concerned that he wasn't talked about a little bit more just because he's off to such a hot start with the Wheat Kings. Through 9 games this season, he has a sub-2 goals against average, just under, it's a 1.99, but through 9 games, it's still impressive. He overall this season so far, he has a 0.945 save percentage, which I want to see if it's sustainable, but so far this season it has been. You know, he's had 2 sub-900 games this season, but he's followed them up with outstanding performances. And, you know, that just response to, okay, I'm getting lit up a little bit, and then just turning around and being like, okay, but I'm fine, don't worry about me, is something that I look for in goaltenders, because that confidence, I think, just kind of helps you build throughout the year. He did only get 23 games last season, but again, it's only been 9 games. He's just looked better and better as the season has progressed, and I can't wait for the next game that we see out of him, and then the next game, and I'm just looking forward to it. I don't think I've ever been this excited, and this is going to sound maybe a little controversial. Some people might not like it. I don't think I've ever been more excited to watch a Wheat Kings goaltender throughout the beginning of a season.
Well, NHL Central Scouting shares your enthusiasm, because they stamped Bjarnason with an A rating, so he's off to the races as far as they're concerned in his draft eligibility position. He's got good size, 6'4", 180 pounds, and I also noted that he served as Scott Ratzlaff's backup at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup in August. So we'll be talking a little bit more about Ratzlaff further down in the podcast. But he did get into 1 game, and so he has a gold medal to his credit. And it'll be an interesting battle to see how the two of them sort of muscle up against each other in the goalie rankings as we get closer to the draft, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. And, you know, I like a good goalie battle. I like when teams have goaltenders who can match up against each other. Unfortunately, different conferences, so we won't get to see them head-to-head really, like, maybe once this season. But I'm excited for it, so we'll see.
All right. So Bjarnason, definitely a player to watch going forward. And our first star this week from the Tri-City Americans, we've got center Tyson Greenway.
I feel like this one might have been a little bit of bias. I probably could have put Bjarnason first star, but I was debating very heavily. But Tyson Greenway put up 3 goals and 2 assists against Portland on Saturday, and I cannot overlook that. Same with Lucas Tiona last week, 3 goals, 3 assists. Tyson Greenway, this was his first hat trick in the WHL, his first 5-point night. Like, it's just such a big accomplishment that I feel like, you know, I really had to highlight that this week. He's had 10 games this season. He has 4 goals, 5 assists. So last Saturday was a really big bump for him. And I'm looking forward to see, you know, if he can keep it up and keep finding these surprising games. Because the Americans, one, they really need it. But two, it's just something that I think they've been waiting for him to just kind of, you know, burst through.
And a couple of interesting notes on Tyson. Even though he plays for the Americans, he is Canadian. However, his cousin, Jordan Greenway of the Minnesota Wild, is American. So there's some cross-border activity in that family. And wishing all the best to Jordan Greenway, who went through shoulder surgery during the offseason and then was injured in his first game back with the Wild this year. So he's back on the shelf again. So hoping for a speedy recovery and getting Jordan back in action at the NHL level. So that's our 3 stars for the week. And now we will move on to our NHL team of the week. In this segment, we'll talk about a different NHL team each week and the WHL players that they have in their system. We're starting off with the Central Division. Last week we did Arizona, and this week's team is the Chicago Blackhawks. So take it away with the Blackhawks prospects for us, please, Liz.
Yeah, so the Blackhawks currently have 3 players in the WHL. They have Nolan Allen with the Prince Albert Raiders, Colton Doff with the Kelowna Rockets, and Kevin Korchinski with the Seattle Thunderbirds. Again, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that one of these is a little bit higher on my personal standings, but just because I've watched him so much. But we're going to start with Nolan Allen. So a defenseman with the Prince Albert Raiders. He was a first round draft pick in 2021, the final first rounder. And he's off to a good start this season. You know, 2 goals, 2 assists in his 8 games, 16 shots throughout the season so far. So he's doing well offensively. He does play as like a physical two-way defenseman. So seeing him pick up some points is fun for me, just because, I don't know. I say I like to watch the defensive defenseman, but at the same time, I'm like, I love when you get points. It's great. He's a quality skater for a bigger body. You know, he is one of those like 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", something like that. He's a taller guy. And, you know, it's nice to see a bigger physical defenseman who can skate. You don't tend to see that all too often. He does need to work on his puck handling, though. So, like, you watch him skate, and it's great, and then you watch him handle a puck, and you're like, okay, if we could bring those to match each other, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Next up, Colton Dock.
Yeah, so Colton Dock, I was excited for Kelowna to get him back. You know, Chicago sent him back a little bit into the season. It was exciting. Kelowna was excited. Everyone was like, yay, we have Colton Dock back. It's going to be a great season. He played 3 games and then entered concussion protocol. So a little bit of a rough start. Yeah, we're hoping that he gets to come back soon. He hasn't been in a game for a couple. But, you know, he played in just 3 games, picked up 3 points, a goal and 2 assists, basically came back and looked exactly how everyone wanted Colton Dock to look. And he can play center and wing, which I feel like at this level, a lot of the skaters can do and are comfortable doing. But he's one of those guys that just makes it look easy to kind of make that transition. And his ability to find open space on the ice and get himself open is incredible. It's something that, you know, I like watching, just even when he's not the guy that someone's passing the puck to, just his ability is going to get him pretty far with any NHL team, especially with the Blackhawks, you know.
For sure. As a note, Doc was drafted at the end of the second round in 2021 with the 62nd pick. And of course, there was great excitement when it happened because he was going to be coming up in the system with his brother Kirby. But then the Blackhawks spoiled that storyline when they traded Kirby to the Canadiens this summer.
Yeah, that brings us actually to our third player with the Chicago Blackhawks, because that trade led to them being able to trade for the 7th overall pick this summer, which broke my heart. I genuinely, and people can fight me about this all they want, but I genuinely think that the Sharks were planning on taking Kevin Korchinski. And then when he went 7th overall, they were like, well, that blows our plan, so let's trade down, get a couple more second rounders. It worked out really well. I'm very happy for everyone. And you know what, Kevin going in the top 10, beautiful. I love it. But it does bring us to Seattle Thunderbirds defenseman Kevin Korchinski, who was 7th overall this summer. I don't know how much more I can say about this player, but I mean, I guess if you're listening and you don't follow, it's going to be all brand new for you. But he is an offensive defenseman. So again, as much as I was saying, oh, I like defensive defensemen, there's a difference and a clear exception with Kevin Korchinski. He is outstanding to watch. The passes that he manages to make and find and just connect with any skater on the ice is incredible. He does have some defensive lapses, but he makes up for it with, you know, his ability to quarterback a power play, his ability to just make his teammates look really good while also, you know, just standing out on his own. He isn't, in my opinion, the strongest skater, but his transformation from coming into the WHL and then to where he is now, just in the last 2 years even, has been absolutely phenomenal. And I think he's just going to keep progressing in that area. He's never going to be that guy on the team where you look at him and go, oh man, Kevin Korchinski's going to skate circles around everyone else. But he's definitely progressed to the point where now he doesn't step on the ice and you go, okay, what's he going to do now? Like, he's, in my opinion, kind of the exact opposite of like Nolan Allen, where he's going to puck handle and be able to do all this amazing, you know, setting up players. And yet he's not the most physical, not the best skater.
Well, and it sounds like even as we're seeing more and more younger players, including younger defensemen, jumping into the NHL with, you know, in their teens or their very early 20s, which was more uncommon, you know, even just a few years ago. You know, maybe Korchinski is a guy who can still benefit from a little bit more development. And then by the time he's NHL ready, and you know, again, he only just got drafted in June, so it's not like I'm slighting him by suggesting that a little more time might help him to be that much more well-rounded by the time he joins the Blackhawks, perhaps when they're starting to hit the upward trajectory of this rebuild.
Absolutely. I'm a little interested to see though how they do this year, just with his development, with not having Kyle Hagel there anymore. Kyle Hagel is now an assistant coach for the San Jose Barracuda, but spent, I think it was 4 or 5 seasons with the defenseman in Seattle. So just kind of seeing how that's going to progress. And Hagel was also their strength and development coach and kind of worked on all of that with the guys. So I have no doubt that, you know, the incredible staff in Seattle are going to be able to keep up with everything. It's an interesting story for me.
Yeah, and change is always intriguing. We've got a little more Seattle talk coming up on the docket in just a second. And certainly their record reflects that everything's going just fine in the Emerald City at this point in the season. But I just wanted to touch quickly on a couple of other players from the Dub who are currently in the Blackhawks roster and playing with the NHL team. One is Reese Johnson, who is 24 and spent 4 years with Red Deer. He joined the Blackhawks organization as a free agent in 2019 and has been kind of bouncing back and forth between the AHL and the NHL, but did play 37 games with the Blackhawks last year. He's on the Chicago roster as we speak today. And as far as I can see, he is not related to Tyler Johnson, who is also playing for Chicago. And the
former
other
Spokane Chief had his number retired last season.
Yes, and Washington State native, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then the other WHL alum on the Blackhawks roster is Jujur Kara from Surrey, BC. He had a really interesting development path, playing in the BCHL and then going to Michigan Tech for one season before looping back to the Dub, and played for one season with the Everett Silver Tips in 2013-14 and then turned pro. And he signed with Chicago as a free agent in 2021 and is now in his second season with the team. So that's your Dub spotlight on the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, it's Liz's favorite time of the week. It's goalie spotlight time. And as mentioned, we are turning the camera to the back to the Seattle Thunderbirds, who are 8-0-0 so far this season. And one of the contributors that has made that happen is Hlinka Gretzky Cup gold medalist Scott Ratzlaff. He shows up on Central Scouting's list today with a B rating, but has done everything that's been asked of him so far in Seattle this season.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to see what else he can do. Last season, he kind of broke onto the scene. He played a little bit before, but last season, I feel like everyone kind of learned his name and were just like, okay, who is this kid? What's going on here? Because Thomas Millage is incredible. He's outstanding. I feel like everybody saw that throughout playoffs. Of course, he was playing so well, Scott didn't get a game in playoffs, but Scott Radcliffe is that kid that you want him as your backup goaltender. And throughout the season, like, you're going to rely on him to keep Thomas Millage fresh. You're going to rely on him. If Millage gets injured, if something happens, you're going to want Scott Radcliffe in there because he's going to be able to hold it up for your team. Like you said, the Thunderbirds are 8-0-0-0 right now, and Scott has played 3 of those games, has won all 3 of those games, has pitched a shutout in one of them, and it's just been a fantastic year to watch the Thunderbirds. I think just they've continued from what they've done last year. But again, through those 3 games, he has a .930 save percentage, a 1.61 goals against average, which as of yesterday morning, he was leading the entire league in goals against average. Again, only through 3 games, we're still in the first month of the season. Well, we're actually just entered the second month of the season. So that's going to shift a little bit, but he is absolutely outstanding and a lot of fun to watch. But on top of watching him on the ice, I feel like you've learned a little bit about him as well. But Scott is a multi-talented kid. he shared with us that he also plays the saxophone. And talking with him late last season, you know, I asked him, what's the most fun thing that you've ever played? And he sat there and he was like, oh, the first thing that came to mind, I played in band, you know, back in Irma, and we played Enter Sandman, and that was so cool. I was like, what? Like, I just wasn't prepared for Enter Sandman to be the answer of, oh yeah, that's the most fun thing I played. I just also wasn't expecting him to have ever played it on a saxophone.
Or in a high school band, for that matter. We never had Metallica on the playlist when I was in band. I did a feature on Ratzlaff for the goalie issue of the Hockey News, which I think is out in the universe now. And really enjoyed talking to him about growing up in Irma. And he was giving me the rundown of all the NHL and NHL adjacent players from his small town, Alberta, and how they all play golf together in the summer, and what he's been able to take away from those guys. Carson Soucy is his cousin. So there's a bunch of connections there. And the other story that he told me that I thought was just fantastic was in the November of 2021, they didn't have the normal U17 challenge that they typically have at that time of year because COVID was still an issue. So they ran something called the Capital City Challenge in Ottawa with a number of U17 teams. And Canada's women's national team also took part in that tournament just to kind of mix things up a little bit and get them some reps. Ratzlaff's team ended up playing against the women's team in the bronze medal game. And so he had an opportunity as a 17-year-old to, you know, get between the pipes against these gold medalists that he's been watching like almost all his life, the Marie-Philippe Poulains and the Natalie Spooners of the world and stuff. And so he said that it was a pretty sort of starstruck experience. And the moment that really kind of stuck in his head was, being in net, watching what's going on, looking at how crisp their passing was and how tight their skills were. And then all of a sudden he looks up and it's Natalie Spooner with her huge eyes coming in on him on a breakaway. And he was just like, holy.
So, yeah, I feel like Scott's just such a great storyteller too himself. Just listening to him talk about just anything that he's gone through or anything that's happened, you can't really do it justice on your own, just because he just tells it in such a fun way that you're just like really excited about everything he has to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're gonna watch a game where Scott Ratzlaff is playing, make sure that you also catch his post game interviews and any other media that he does around the game, because he's definitely an outgoing, fun storyteller and a very cool goalie to keep an eye on as we go forward.
Last thing on him, I was laughing because some of the season ticket holders, I believe, for the Seattle Thunderbirds got to meet the team a little bit and got them all to take a group photo. And for some reason, the only person in the photo doing the, like, number one pose was Scott Ratzlaff standing there, like, everyone else is just kind of like, yeah, we're taking a photo. And he's going, and I don't know, I feel like that's just part of his personality. He's just always prepared for something a little bit different, and it's fun to watch. But also, as a goaltender, kind of getting back on topic, he's been fantastic, like you said, in the Hlinka Gretzky, last thing, I could go on about him forever, but in the Hlinka Gretzky, he had four games and got two shutouts. He allowed two goals in four games, so
yeah,
can't wait to see more.
Yeah, couldn't have gone better. And again, not with Red Deer being not that far from Irma, he had lots of friends and family in the stands to support him for that tournament as well. So that was a cool experience for him. Up next, we're going to move on to our draft eligible spotlight, which we could apply to just about everything we've talked about in today's episode. Had a very, very strong focus on the 2023 draft eligibles. But for this segment, we're going to focus on left winger Andrew Crystal from the Kelowna Rockets, who got a B rating today from NHL Central Scouting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more there is that he hasn't already just shown himself. You know, he has 7 goals, 6 assists in 10 games. Basically, anytime you choose him to score first in the Kelowna Rockets, like, who's going to get our first goal Twitter thing? If you guess Andrew Crystal, you're probably right 6 times out of 10, 3 times out of 5, whatever. He's just always on top of everything. He is outstanding to watch. He's really fun. I don't really know what else to say. You know, he's averaging, I think, like 4 shots a game, which, I mean, after you look at Connor Bedard, you're like, oh, he's averaging like 7. It's fine. But it's just, he's not afraid to be that guy who, when the Kelowna Rockets kind of just needed someone to step up, he's that guy you can turn to and be like, Andrew's got it. It's fine. We'll be okay. And they've had to rely on him for that a couple times this year. You know, there's a couple Rockets that you might be able to say that about, but I feel like Andrew Kristol, even since last year, you've been looking forward to this being his team, and I think he's kind of stepped up and taken that role on, especially after they traded guys like Jake Poole.
So again, another player to keep an eye on as the season goes on. And like Connor Bedard, Kristol also hails from the from my stomping grounds here in the Lower Mainland. He's a native of Burnaby, BC. So another good prospect for the draft that we'll be watching as the season goes on. And that's my
favorite. Sorry.
Go ahead.
my favorite Andrew Kristol fun fact for the season. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I needed to get this in there. Is that he is 100% on faceoffs. But he's only taken one. So it's a fun fact because you like to see it, but
sometimes you got to just quit while you're ahead, keep that perfect rating, and take that to the bank for you. Exactly. No, I was getting excited to move forward because I was trying to ride my seamless segue from Andrew Kristol into the Connor Bedard report for this week. Needless to say, Connor did get an A rating from NHL Central Scouting. Can you imagine the headlines today if that hadn't happened? he is leading the WHL in points and all, and has had, you know, a fair amount of attention paid to him over the last several years. So tell us what's up with Connor this week.
Well, since we last talked last Thursday, they haven't played a game. The game actually got postponed. With awful weather, which I don't have to worry about because I'm out here in California, so my weather is perfect. We had an earthquake this morning, so maybe not. but no, I mean, it doesn't matter if he's played or not. Connor Bedard is always going to be that top. You're going to talk about him no matter what. As you know, I had seen it on Twitter. You pointed out that it was Thomas Durant who had said it, but he had posted saying that Connor had said that he cried for a week after the 2011, you know, when Vancouver Canucks got knocked out, lost the Stanley Cup. I think I also probably cried for a week, but I think it was different levels of tears going on.
That's definitely relatable emotions from Connor, from those of us in the Lower Mainland. And I did a piece last week for the Hockey News website talking about how maybe the Canucks' woes this season are some sort of hockey god attempt to pair Connor with Vancouver, because in 52 years of Canucks history, they've never had a number one first overall draft pick. They have terrible luck in the draft lottery. This was supposed to be a playoff year, but now here they are, the NHL's only undefeated or winless. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Unwinning team in the NHL. So maybe, you know, this region has never produced a player with the pedigree that Connor has. So I feel like maybe there's some sort of hockey gods at work here trying to get a local boy franchise player onto the Vancouver roster. And that's pretty much the only hope that fans in this town have to cling to right now as the Canucks ride through this situation. As far as the weather in Regina, not an earthquake, but I did have the pleasure of being in Regina in late October, I guess 3 years ago, 2019. The Heritage Classic was held there at Mosaic Stadium, and so I can speak as a sort of soft BCer who likes rain is okay, but let's like, you know, hold things at the freezing temperature. There was snow, and the weekend that I was there, and of course the stadium was outside. So we had the full snow globe effect for the game. Looked pretty, but was pretty uncomfortable. And the thing that really got me was the you know, raging prairie winds at 40 or 50 miles an hour. Again, it makes the flags outside the stadium look really cool when they're up and like totally horizontal. But Only old man winter apparently can keep Connor Bedard off the score sheet by postponing
the game. That sounds about right.
Some forces that are unstoppable. So the game that they were supposed to play against Moose Jaw on Sunday has now been postponed to Wednesday. And then they'll be hosting Everett on Saturday and Tri-City on Sunday. What do you expect from Connor this week? And how do you think those teams are going to hold up against Regina?
Well, I think both teams are going to be hungry to keep him off the scoreboard, but also just to get wins in Regina this week. Everett has been on kind of a bumpy road, which is surprising. Like, we weren't expecting that out of Everett this year. We were expecting them to come out of the gates and just be the same Everett we've seen for the past 2 or 3 years. But they've had a little bit of ups and downs, and I think it's going to be interesting. Goaltending somehow for the first time in ever has been a big question mark for Everett this season, and I say that full well knowing that I love Braden Holt, I love Metzger. It's just been an interesting start to the season for them, and facing a guy like Connor Bedard, it's either going to help them shine and push them to that next level, or it's might be a little bit rocky of a weekend again for them. And then Tri-City coming off, you know, that 5-1 win in Portland that I'm not going to lie, nobody thought that they were going to pull off. Maybe they did, but I think everyone else in the WHL world was just like, okay, yeah, we're going to write them off, but they had just beaten Everett as well. So you never know what's going to happen. Tri-City has kind of come out of the gates. They have an outstanding goaltender in Tomas Sukanek, and they have a fantastic backup in Nick Avakian, and I think he also hasn't been getting as much attention as he's deserved. But it's going to be interesting. I don't feel comfortable calling it one way or another because it really just depends on what type of night these two teams are having.
It'll be really interesting to see how that goes this weekend and what those matchups deliver. So definitely something for us to keep an eye on. That's our final official segment for today. So once again, thanks so much for tuning in wherever you are watching or listening to the pod. Thanks again for all the great support and feedback that we got from you for episode one. It's been a lot of fun putting this together, and we're very appreciative of all the eyeballs and tweets and ears and everything else that are coming our way. If you do have any feedback, suggestions, things you want to know about, Liz is the girl to talk to because she's the one who sets up the plan. As you can see, if you're watching us, you can hit her up on Twitter at Liz Child, and that's spelled LIZZZZ. Oh no, I'm in a little bit of a crisis moment. She isn't sent up there, so I got to give her the LIZZCHILD. So reach out to Liz on Twitter and give her a follow and let her know what else you want to see from the pod in weeks to come. We'll do our best to make it happen. What's on tap for you this week?
Well, I have a call with a couple of Tri-City Americans players in about 2 hours here. So that'll be really exciting for me personally. And then, you know, we have more San Jose Barracuda hockey coming up. We have San Jose Sharks this week. It's going to be an absolute incredible weekend, but the WHL, I got a couple of different talks with some players coming up later this week as well. So something to keep an eye out, including a newly named captain of the Portland Winterhawks, Gabe Clausen. So very excited. You actually just had a really fun talk, and then you have more coming up this week. So I can't wait to hear about those as well.
Yes, let's ride that Portland Winterhawk wave. I had Carolina Hurricanes were in town here in Vancouver last night, so I had a chance to talk to Seth Jarvis after the morning skate yesterday. Yeah, great kid, super fun. I did ask him how he felt about Portland introducing the personalized goal songs, and he was wildly envious that's happening. I asked him if you know, he'd never had a personalized goal song of his own, but definitely something that he would like to have, but he couldn't pinpoint exactly what it would be. It was just like, it'd be something really sick. So
Winterhouse did personalized goal songs when he was on the team though, and he definitely didn't change it.
He did say he loves TNT, and he also added that it definitely would not be Barbie Girl.
Disappointing. It's okay. Luca Cagnoni is just supreme. It's fine.
The other thing, I learned a new hockey nickname from Seth yesterday that I had not heard before. I was asking him about his status on the Hurricanes as an honorary Finn, and he was talking about how he spends a lot of time hanging out with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, that they're kind of, you know, day-by-day buds and spend a lot of time together. And then he's also skating on Carolina's top line with Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen right now, or as he called them, Fish and Turbo. And Turbo, I understood. Turbo, Teuvo, that makes sense. That's pretty standard hockey stuff. But I honestly had to come home and Google where Fish came from. Do you know?
Yeah, so it's sea bass, because it's Sebastian. And as far as I'm aware, his nickname's Fishy or Fish. And it's been really, really highly enjoyed nickname, I think, by people who follow the team closely.
Yeah. I saw that they combined for a really nice goal last night, and I saw that the Hurricanes social media channel used the fishy nickname. So I am now in the loop, and I know what's going on. And I was amused to see on Google that apparently the other Sebastian Aho playing for the New York Islanders also goes by Fish.
Oh, love it! Absolutely wonderful.
So that's the way things go in the hockey world. Just to wrap up today, I want to give you a quick reminder to tune in to the rest of our new Hockey News family of podcasts covering prospects all around North America. We've got the THN on the O pod with hosts Brock Otten and Tony Ferrari. THN on the QMJHL featuring Will McLaren and Jamie Tozer. And then we've got the Hockey News American Pipeline podcast hosted by Mike Stevens and Sydney Wolf. If you subscribe to the main Hockey News podcast on any of your favorite platforms, you should be able to get all of those in your feed, keep you busy all week, keep you engaged with all of these prospects and drafted players across junior hockey, and keep you busy for the next week until we meet again. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.